Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
All right, kicking off hour three here on Follow the Money. Stormy Bonantoni, JVT, in for the guys for a couple more days as we welcome you back to the program. SiriusXM channel 158, still to come this hour. We're going to have our in-pocket plays at the end of the program, like we always do. Jerry Palm, well-known bracketologist, going to talk through some early college basketball bracket projections, teams to make or miss the field altogether. Should be fun. Get into some interesting numbers there. Olympic hockey discussion as well. Canada, by the way, officially official on the women's side. They win 2-1. So do not cover as a 4.5 puck line favorite. You laid the 3.5. Apologies.
Ended the hot streak.
It happens to us all, to the best of us.
No, I thought I was going to win forever.
Okay.
I thought I was going to remain undefeated on in-game wagers for a while. That would have been it. That would have been possible because I would not have live bet Olympic women's hockey for another 4 years.
So, I exited out of it. No, I didn't. I have it here. Okay. Andrea Brandley, the Swiss goaltender. Unreal looking at some of her numbers. So she has 44 saves on 46 shots in that game after a 40 save shutout that she had in the quarterfinals, a 98 save percentage. Unreal. So you just got caught, and we know that this happens in hockey, as you call it, a stupid sport sometimes,
lovingly.
In the best way at times. Yes, in a lovingly way. But that you can just, sometimes a goalie gets hot and there's nothing you can do about it, and they were shooting their asses off, couldn't do it.
Did you grab my ass?
Love it. You can quote it. You can,
quote
Night
of
the
Roxbury
and everything. Yeah. Shout out Kelly Bidlin for chiming in the chat, by the way. Says we're great. We should have our own show.
3 hours is a little much for
on
you.
For me? Not typically. It's just the time of year that we're at on the calendar right now in particular.
I love this time of year. I think it's actually, I don't want to get into the minutiae of it, but I will just say I think this is a very good challenge for media members and hosts to get out of their comfort zone. Here's an idea, and I'm not saying you do this. I'm just saying, here's an idea.
I'm already upset.
Pay attention to other sports during football season so that at this time of year, you can actually do your job.
So I was going to say, excuse you, sir.
I'm just saying, that's not you. I think we do a good job.
No, I was going to say, how pumped have I been, though, about
sports
all of the
radio.
Olympic coverage that we've had, though, truly. I think this is awesome. On the men's side, it's the first time that we've had NHLers in it in more than a decade. On the women's side, it's just been fun hockey, and now we have a collision course, which that's what, can you, while I'm talking.
Love a good collision course.
Can you pull up the odds for the gold medal game now that it is cemented that we have Team USA versus Team Canada?
I'm doing this
Canada?
Because I want to, not because you told me to.
Also, we were talking about some Olympic curling on Friday, and you were asking about the sweeping, if that slows down or speeds.
Right, it melts the ice and slows it down, correct?
Speeds them up. It melts the pellets and speeds it up.
Okay, so it's the opposite.
Yeah, so it's like as the stone is slowing down, you're scrubbing to try to
keep it going. Okay,
yes,
got it.
Direct it and then keep it moving.
You want men's gold medal odds. Is
women's.
That what you asked for?
No.
Women's. Excuse me. Sorry.
I want to know the women's gold medal game, Canada versus Team USA.
Oh, you want the odds for the gold medal game.
Correct.
Gotcha.
That's the one.
Give me a second, man.
Load it up. Well, also, speaking of scrubbing and sweeping, maybe here, I can look this up while you can tell this story.
Not coming up.
Because
I don't think they have anything up yet.
You apparently were at the grocery store this morning and someone tried to sell you a
last cleaning item.
Thanks
for paying attention to my story. I got accosted by somebody last night outside
accosted.
Of the grocery store.
Them's is fighting words.
I would say it was accosted. I walked up to the grocery store, by the way, to grab apples and peanut butter, because that's a very good combo. And
I agreed.
There was a man that was standing outside of the grocery store with a vacuum cleaner in a shopping cart. The vacuum cleaner was not boxed. It was a vacuum cleaner. Very much so I could see that it had been used, because there was a lot of dust and stuff in the chamber, as you can tell. It's been used. And this dude makes eye contact with me. He goes, "Hey, dude, you know what this is? It's a Dyson." And I said, "Okay. Yes, I can see that. Yes, it's a Dyson." He goes, "You want to sit? It's $25. You want it?" And I'm like, "No, I don't want the Dyson. I'm sorry. It's okay." He goes, "Why? Is it because it's so cheap?" And he's kind of getting angry at me because I don't want to buy this weird Dyson that's been used and it's just in his shopping cart. And I looked at him. I said, "No, it's because I have one." And I walked into the store. When I left, he was getting in a car and putting the Dyson back in the car, and they were driving off somewhere.
So he's
just going around to grocery stores trying to hawk this used thing. I don't understand what the... Just ask me for $25. I wouldn't have given it to you, but I'm going to buy the vacuum.
Are you the only one that he approached?
That's the other part. Yes. There was three other people that walked up, but it was me for some reason. He was like, "Sucker." That guy's going to buy this vacuum.
Is going to buy this used vacuum for me. I can see it.
I just like how he referred it. You got this Dyson. You know what that is? Like, yes, I know what a Dyson is.
We do actually have the odds, though, up for this Canada-USA game. Unfortunately, though, this is not what I wanted to have happen. So we were hoping that the gold medal game between Canada and Team USA would be a better price than what it was for USA to win gold. Previously, they were like minus 320. Mm. They're a $4 favorite against Canada for the game. Total, 5.5, minus 135 on the under, plus 110 to the over.
What were they the first game?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I'll go back and look. The only reason I ask is, obviously, there's a change. Canada's healthier, so I'm curious
the difference is. But, yeah, and that's what I was going to say. It was significant. They were laying... But it was the same puck line. Like the juice was not as heavy as this one was, I don't think, on the 1.5. I think I laid like minus 130 on the 1.5 puck line. Mm-hmm. It's minus 150 anyways, all of that to say. Team Canada plus 125 getting the goal and a half on the puck line. And we're seeing Team USA already getting bet. I'm looking at least the live odds on BetMGM right now, where they're out to minus 450 almost instantly. I would play that Team USA -1.5. Okay. I think I'm going to. I'm going to shop around, though, see if I can find better prices other than this one that I see live. That's it. We'll get into more Olympic hockey a little bit later on. I do want to make sure we touch on this hour once again, because we're going to have Jerry Palm on to talk through the bracketology of it all. But we do have a couple really big games coming up tonight as standalones, one of them being a game. And I didn't really get your answer to this. I think tonight Houston and Iowa State could be one of the best games of the year. Like, if these two really play to the peak of their powers, could we not have an awesome basketball game tonight?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree with that. These are two of the best teams in the country. So this should be a very, very good game in terms of entertainment and quality. I do wonder what Iowa State's offense looks like in the half court against such a good Houston defense, especially in this backcourt defensively for Houston. They're very good at the point of attack. So I'm going to be curious to see how that looks. But, no, this should be, in general, I don't think anybody's going, I'm not watching this. Like, no, this should be a fantastic game tonight.
I was interested hearing from Brian that he said he's going to see where this line ends up moving. And I know we had the discussion too, curious to see where this ultimately closes, but that he had the lean toward Iowa State, especially since we were both kind of leaning Houston. He did, however, was very adamant about the side in Syracuse being the right one, taking the 20.5 points at Duke.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, it seems a little high. I mean, some of the projections are a little bit higher in terms of Duke right now in some spots. A 20.5 point favorite. Some of the projection you can find out there more in the range of like 19, 18. So I think that that's a little too high here for the Blue Devils. Syracuse, look, they're fighting for their lives. If they can get a win here, obviously it's going to go a long way to potentially fighting their way into the bubble. I say that with some hesitancy because it's not really a particularly great portfolio right now, and they'd be very much on the outside looking in as it stands. So maybe you can grab a win and get this done, but you look overall at the Orange and what they have done so far this year. Best win is going to be Tennessee, Ken Pomp's top 19 team, top 18 team, and then, of course, a quad one victory there among some others that they have on the docket, including coming off of a win against SMU. So I think you could probably get Syracuse to stay inside of this number. Not a perfect team, but they do have some strengths. They're a pretty solid three-point shooting team, although they don't take a ton. And defensively, they're at least not abhorrent, although there are some issues, including their rebounding has been pretty bad so far this year. And I think Duke's a pretty good rebounding team, especially with what they have down low.
Yeah, last I checked. Yeah. Pretty good. That conversation, by the way, was with Brian Edwards. I didn't like fully explain who that was. Vegas Insider does a great job. Senior handicapper, majorwager.com. And good reminder, too, if you ever miss any segment of any of our shows here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, you can go VSiN Best Bets feed wherever you get your podcasts, and every hour that is live on this network every day is repopulated and put there in the feed each and every day. You mentioned Syracuse as one of those will they, won't they kind of tournament teams, getting into the nitty gritty of it. Before we have Jerry on in a little bit, were there any teams that have been top of mind for you when it comes to the bubble, when it comes to make-miss playoff options, anything like that that has really caught your attention?
Yes, actually, there's a pretty interesting team that I can't wait to ask Jerry about, but it is Auburn. So we have these odds to make the NCAA tournament, and you know, obviously they come up every week, and they kind of filter around and take them in and out. But what I find interesting about where Auburn is right now, Jerry, who we're going to talk to here in a little bit, has them on the first four in. Actually, might be the first four out. I'm looking at his old ones. But either way, the whole point here being Auburn's barely right there. They're firmly on the bubble. And yet, you look at the way the market's pricing them, Stormy. Yes, minus 450. No, plus 310. Now, Lenardi's got them in, so I do wonder if the market leans a little bit more towards a Lenardi type in terms of the bracketology. I'm very curious about a team like Auburn and what that looks like for the Tigers, because the market firmly believes that they are in. But I think there's some question as to that being the case. And if you look on Bracket Matrix, out of the, I think, 102 so far that they have polled right now, 101 have Auburn in. So I'm curious to see what Jerry Palm thinks about what their status is. But they're very much at the top of the list. And the Mountain West teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your team, San Diego State, on the bubble. They have the opportunity to grab some wins, but if you actually look at their non-conference, obviously we know it didn't go well. They lost to Troy, so it's a pretty bad loss on the resume when you look at the quadrant. I think Troy would be a quad three loss, if I remember correctly. But where San Diego State falls, and if they can just win their way in, given the strength of their schedule down the stretch, because the Mountain West is fine, but it's not insanely strong. And how many teams the Mountain West are going to get in? Because right now, with San Diego State on the bubble, I think Lenardi's only got two Mountain West teams. Okay. And I remember at one point it looked like they were going to get three. And the one that is firmly in right now is Utah State.
Yep. With the Mountain West top of mind, we didn't even talk about this. We didn't even text about this over the weekend. I don't know who we are. UNLV?
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
Good comeback. The Rebels do.
Get the upset in Boise.
I'm going to call this now. I'm not going to bet this, but I'm willing to bet UNLV is a sexy bet once we get to the Mountain West tournament. The upside's there, and they're starting to get a little bit healthier, and they have the best scorer in the league in Dre Gibbs Longhorn. I think they're going to be an intriguing team when you talk about playing a tournament on your own home court. I can't wait to go with you.
Yes, we will. I actually was texting my old boss man yesterday, okay. And we are in there like swimwear. We've got all the tickets to the tournament, so you don't have to get a credential. You can drink some beverages. You can enjoy the action.
I can drink water.
Oh, no, I forgot.
Yep.
Boo. Now I'm just going to have to drink all of your drinks for you.
Sober Von Tobel. Doesn't really rhyme.
I know we talked some women's hockey a moment ago, but the men's qualification round is set, as are the four group winners that get the bye into the quarterfinals. We will discuss those games coming up next right here on Follow the Money.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Back here on Follow the Money, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel in for the guys. The Olympic hockey action has been an absolute blast, if I can speak. Don't laugh at me.
Sorry.
I'm trying to push through, you know?
I shouldn't do that. I'll tell you this. Coming up through media, I was a producer at first, and doing local radio, I would have to do sports updates.
Okay.
So, this is Jonathan Von Tobel with your ESPN Sports Center update brought to you by, and rattle through a bunch of news stories. And so, we would do them live at the top of the hour. So, and producing, you'd have to do a lot of different stuff. I'd pop the mics, you'd play the sound bed, you'd do the. So, one of the things that would drive me nuts is when I would stumble when I would
Someone
do the
would
report.
Laugh at you.
Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review Journal. And a local media member who still works there, Steve Cofield, that's who I produced for him. So every time I would do it, they would mock me and they would make fun of Stormy. I think you know this about me. I'm a very mild-mannered person. You've never seen me get angry
never
before.
Never seen you get mad in your life, no. You didn't handle it well.
One of the days I may or may not have turned the mics off and... Oh, yeah.
No!
I think it's one of the reasons why they respect me now.
So that's what I need to do.
There was a lot of F-bombs.
It's just MFU in a commercial break, and then this won't happen again.
Pretty much, yeah, because it was very strong. I said some things I regret. I was very mean to Adam and Steve.
I mean, it's worked out. You guys are friends, yeah. So maybe we won't be.
There was a lot. I'll tell you after.
Okay. What I was trying to say, though, was that
I shouldn't mock you is what I'm saying.
Olympic hockey has been awesome to this point. The men's qualification round is set, as are the four group winners who get the bye to the quarterfinals. We also now know who will be playing in the women's gold medal game. It is Team USA and Team Canada, as we all expected, although I'm not sure this price is what we expected. Team USA, a $4 favorite or more, depending on where you look right now. They're even laying the 1.5 on the puck line at BetMGM right now has been juiced up from -150 to -170 just from the last time that we talked about this. The goal total, 5.5. Also, the bronze medal game, Switzerland and Sweden. Sweden, a -185 money line favorite. Switzerland, +150. The goal total there, 5.5. And if the Swiss goalie plays anything like she did in that game against Canada just now, the under will certainly be in play.
So what do you, when you say the price is surprising, you think it should be...
I thought it was going to be a little bit less, especially bit less, with, okay. like we talked about, with the Canadian captain being back healthy and playing, and knowing how much they have the capability of powering offense, I thought that we would get it at least like a cheaper number. I thought this would be more in the $3 range. However, that is not the case.
Yeah, and I don't think today would deter you from Canada. I mean, they only won 2-1, but like you mentioned, they dominated shot share. They were the better team, and I think puck luck just happened, and they happened to be unlucky. So I don't think I'm turned off by the way Canada performed here in this matchup going into the gold medal game at all. So, but that would not put you on money line for Team Canada.
No,
like, is there
not
inherent value in
I
the
think,
price?
No, I don't think so. Just okay. because, as we talked about with Sarah Sivian a little bit early on in the first hour of the program, I think Team USA is just operating at a different level. Mm-hmm. Very similar to when we get to the men's side of this, how I feel about Team Canada right now. But for the U.S. women, not only the way that they have dominated the Olympic competition throughout the preliminary round, the quarterfinals, and now the semis, they are outscoring opponents 31-1 so far in the Olympics, but they have also specifically dominated Canada. They played four of those rivalry series games from November to now, and Team USA won all of them by at least 3 goals. So I am laying the 1.5. I am sad that this has gotten juiced up as high as it is, but I think that it's the right side. If you want to look at an alt puck line like Mike Palm talked about in the first matchup, -2.5 at a good plus money price, I think that could be an approach potentially as well. The 1.5 goals is what I'm looking for, though. And so I would shop around to try to find the best number that you can get ultimately on that. That game will be played for us on the Pacific time zone Thursday morning at 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 Eastern for those of you out in the Eastern time zone.
We'll be on the air.
Yeah, we will. We'll be back in our normal spot.
Yes, we will.
Beautiful. That'll be fun. That'll be a fun live sweat for us then.
All right. Don't plan anything. Let's just watch that game.
I mean, it worked out well for us on
Steve
Friday.
Steve and Bill, we got a live bet coming up on Thursday. It's going to be live bet women's Olympic hockey.
It worked out well on Friday for us for that. And you're going to be live. You're going to be live middling trying to do whatever you can, right?
I guess, yeah. I don't know. I got burned. Once burned, now I'm out.
On the men's side, so these games will begin tomorrow for us overnight, though. So I did want to make sure that we got into the qualification round games on the men's side. France, Germany, Italy, Switzerland, and Denmark and the Czech Republic will all be played before we are on the air tomorrow, 3:10 in the morning Pacific time for those first two games I mentioned. We will, however, be on the air for the second period and beyond of Latvia, Sweden. Will I be up? No.
You're not going to get up?
I'm gonna watch the old highlights of the qualification.
Come on now. I thought you were a real fan. There's nothing like getting up for FIBA basketball at like 2 o'clock in the morning and watching that.
I am gonna have a bet on one of these games. So maybe I should record it and then play it when
record
I do wake up in the morning. I can do that.
I mean, I know you can.
I'm not
questioning your capabilities.
I'm just saying it's not like the Super Bowl where you can't avoid the answer of what happened throughout the game.
I'm just
going to wake up and then press play on Germany-France. It'll be that simple.
Yeah, wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm not doing that.
Thought you were a hockey fan. That's my bad.
I'm a Team USA hockey fan. There is a difference. Waking up just to watch Tim Stutzler.
Stoffed with the AW. I'll tell you that much.
That
right
said,
now.
Would you like to know the bet, or are you just want to criticize me for getting my beauty sleep?
France, Germany. Go ahead. Man, you tossed up a softball. I'm not going to knock it out of the park. Go ahead.
You will be awake at that time, won't you, though? Because you pretty much have been getting up at that time anyways. I am on Germany, though. So puck line, -2.5 here. I see -142 right now. I bet it at circa -135 earlier this morning. And I think that price is still available. So like we talk about with all of this stuff, do your due diligence. See if you can find the best number for whatever you want to play. I know that this is ugly. Germany went 1-2 in the preliminary round. Most of us were watching that game against Team USA yesterday where they got waxed. France, however, is one of the two worst teams in the entire field. It's them and the Italians. They're the worst. The only reason they even made it was because Russia was excluded.
You cut that, Justin.
What? What'd I say?
I just love little funny audio clips and getting you to say them and the Italians, they're the worst.
Well, I have one that I would like to cut from you earlier, too.
Okay.
Which I get. I will tell you that in the commercial break. See if we can get it. Because you have that one that you just play of me all the time. And it makes me very uncomfortable. Germany, this, I feel like the talent difference is significant in favor of Germany. I mentioned Tim Stützle, obviously Leon Draisaitl, who against Team USA specifically, they were just all over him. And I don't think that France has anywhere near the talent of Team USA to be able to do the same. Tim Stützle specifically is tied with Macklin Celebrini for the most goals in this whole thing right now. You do need more from a couple players, Sider included, but laying 2.5 at a relatively decent price, I think, is worthwhile for Germany here. So that's okay. At least, like, that's my favorite bet on paper for the qualification round.
So the one I was going to ask you about is, why in the world am I not laying 3.5 goals to Switzerland?
I think I'm doing that too.
Yeah,
so
you said
as we
it.
Get to the next game, I think I'm doing that also.
Because I was going to say, I mean, I've watched quite a bit of this Italian team for whatever reason. They are awful. They can't skate. And if you look at some of the teams that they have played, they have been getting circles skated around them. They got dominated in the game that we watched together. There's nothing there for this team that would make me think that they don't again have just an absolute drubbing in store for them tomorrow.
Not only do they not have an NHL player, they only have one NHL-affiliated player, and it's their goaltender. So, like, that's Exhibit A to show you just the difference.
I guess that's why they stay in some of these games, right?
Yeah, they are.
Well, the other day, no. But.
We're not going to get a Finland result, right? Like, this isn't going to be an 11-0 blowout. But, for both of these games, I could see this being, like, a... For the Germany game, I could see that being a 5-1 or a 6-2 type game. This could be a 7-1 game in favor of Switzerland.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like laying the 3.5 in this one. Timo Meier has been one of the best offensive players for Switzerland. He's got 3 goals, 4 points. And they have a couple players like Nico Hischier and Nino Niederreiter that have not played anything near to their capabilities yet. This is the perfect opponent for guys like that to wake up. So, like, that would be a scary thought to me if I'm Italy playing the Switzerland team. -130, -135, the price to lay those 3.5 goals. I know it's hefty, but how many blowouts have we seen in this Olympic hockey early stage game? Like, I think this is a very similar type of an outcome based on the seeding.
Okay. I like it. All right, I'll be in.
I don't have anything in Czechia, Denmark. However, just to get you guys the odds that are available there, Czech Republic laying 1.5 goals. They are -325 on the money line. Goal total there, 6.5. Juice to the under, -130. Latvia and Sweden, the game that we will be on the air for. And this is what I talked about earlier with Sarah. Bad draw for Team USA. Sweden is a huge favorite here against Latvia. They were considered going in to be a top 3 seed in this whole thing. They are not. They are a 7 seed. So, again, tough situation for Team USA to have to be in for the quarterfinals, potentially. -750 favorites laying 2.5 on the puck line. Juice to -162 on that puck line price. Goal total 6.5, -142 to the under. Are you still paying full price for gas? Stop it. You don't have to anymore, especially with the free Upside app. You can earn real cash back every time you fill up. All you need to do is download Upside from the App Store or Google Play. Start earning today. Use promo code NETWORK and get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Drivers are saving $200 to $300 a year just by buying gas they were already getting. It's simple. It's legit. You can cash out anytime in your bank account or e-gift cards like Amazon. It's not just gas, by the way. Restaurant discounts and cash back as well. Download the free Upside app now. Promo code NETWORK for limited time, 25 cent per gallon bonus. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
College hoops is in full swing. March Madness will be here before you know it. As we welcome you back here to Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Very excited to get into some more college hoops with Jerry Palm, who joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. PalmBrackets.com, one of the marquee bracketologists that does this each and every year. Been doing it for a long time. Jerry, super excited to have you on with us today. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you so much for doing this. And I know we have a lot of like nitty gritty details that we can get into and teams on the bubble and make miss all of those things. But off the top, something I've been asking a lot of people and I'm curious your opinion on is just that how many teams generally you think can really win it all this year based on what you have seen from these teams in college hoops?
Oh, wow. It's a big number this year because it's just been so competitive at the top of college basketball. And even though like Michigan and Arizona and Duke had kind of separated themselves a little bit, I think there's a dozen teams that could probably win it all. And part of it is because you've got so many individual stars on a lot of teams this year, teams that are guys that are of, you know, high draft pick quality. And that's usually the kind of a thing you need to win in the NCAA tournament, is somebody who could take over games. And a lot of teams this year, in part because of such a good freshman class in college basketball, have got guys like this.
So, Jerry, there's a couple of teams that really interest me. One of them is on your first four outline, the Auburn Tigers. Betting market really thinks that they're in. They're minus 450 favorites to make the NCAA tournament. What do you see in Auburn's resume that has them on the first four out for you, and do you think they can do enough to make it in?
They're 4-10 in quad one games, which is, you know, that's NCAA tournament caliber teams, and that's just not a good record. And they have three more of those games left, and two of them are on the road. So if they can't, you know, get a couple of wins among those games and still win the other ones, they're really making a strong case for being left out. Of course, last year you had North Carolina with the best case ever for being left out, and they got in anyway. So that gives Auburn hope.
I want to ask you, on the vein of the last four in and first four out, couple Mountain West teams, one on each line. New Mexico in, my San Diego State Aztecs out. We know Utah State is the team that is projected to be firmly in, but why do you have it that way? And can you at least give me some positivity for my Aztecs, Jerry, please?
Oh yeah. No, they're right there in the hunt. It's in fact, that's probably the cut line. I'd have to go back and check for sure, but New Mexico might be the last team in, or they're right there, and San Diego State is right there too. And I think part of it has to do with just strength of schedule. That, you know, strength of schedule seems to favor Nebraska. I'm sorry, Nebraska, New Mexico. Got Nebraska on the brain. And, they're both teams that could still go either way. Utah State has been the best team in that league, and they're a likely tournament team, although because of the schedule of the games that are left, even they could go sideways. But, yeah, San Diego State. Well, wait a minute. I have San Diego State in today's bracket, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, San Diego State. Yeah, last four in, they were at the top.
Yeah, that's okay. I was confused because I thought I had them in. Well, they are in. So they're both in, but they're both 11 seeds. At San Diego State, I think I have in one of the play-in games, in New Mexico is the fifth team in, so they're not in one of those games. But, yes, they're both in. But it's going to be like that for the next few weeks. You know, one side of the bubble or not, those two teams are going to be right there hoping that you don't have a lot of conference tournament upsets knocking teams out.
Jerry, how much just in general, and we can keep it with San Diego State because they do have one of these losses, but how much of an albatross is a bad loss, like quad three or quad four, for some of these teams like San Diego State? Obviously, they lost to Troy earlier in the year. Is that what kind of keeps them in that bubble range? And if they didn't have that, they'd be comfortably in the field?
Well, I don't know that they would be comfortably in the field, but yeah, that, you know, when you get bad losses like that, and I call anything in quad three or four a bad loss, when you have those and you don't get the kind of games you need to make up for it, then they hurt you more than it would hurt, say, somebody like Auburn having a loss like that who's played a ridiculous schedule and has got some quality wins.
Arizona at the top of this thing is one of those prospective one seeds. We were talking earlier about a big injury they have to Koa Pete, the tough schedule that they have in the Big 12. With that, how in danger do you think they could be of somebody else stepping in and leapfrogging them for a top seed?
Obviously the Pete injury is a problem, and they're going to need him back if they're going to have the kind of postseason that they hope for. Their schedule has been ridiculous. The Big 12, especially at the top, has been one of the best leagues in the country this year. I've been putting five of them in the top 16 now for about two or three weeks. And Arizona, of course, is on the top line of the bracket. They still have six games left in the regular season. And right now, all of those games are quad one. They get BYU at home. They have to go to Houston. They get Kansas and Iowa State at home. But even the road games to teams that aren't in the tournament are high enough ranked teams that they're all quad one games. And if they're not at full strength, you know, this could be a slide, you know, that takes them down off the top line or maybe even two lines. But at full strength, Arizona is on the short list of teams that would be favored to win this tournament.
All right, I got to ask you before we get you out of here, Miami, Ohio, do they have to be undefeated to make it into the NCAA tournament?
No, but they need to win their conference championship. Okay. They can lose before the conference tournament, but their strength of schedule is 350 out of 363. And nobody with strength of schedule anywhere near that has ever gotten an at-large bid.
Jerry, awesome stuff. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. I know it's a busy time of year as March approaches.
Yeah, sure, anytime. Thanks.
Jerry Palm, everybody. Again, palmbrackets.com, where you can get all that information. And yeah, that was my fault on San Diego State. I was looking at the going into the weekend where he had them and upgraded them on Monday. So that's good.
Yeah, I think to me, as he said there, the Auburn thing I think is really fascinating. When you factor in the betting market, where other places have them. Again, we talked about Bracket Matrix having them in like 108 brackets. Lenardi has them in, not even on the bubble. But Palm's got them out, and that's a really big one. To have four wins and double-digit losses in quad one, I think Auburn – you look at no plus 310 for that team.
Attractive.
It is, especially when you hear that. You look at the quad victories and whatnot. But you also do wonder if the allure of just the brand of Auburn will have the committee overlook that resume.
The one seed, so I mentioned Arizona on that line, Michigan, Duke, and UConn, the other three. Does that surprise you at all?
So give me that to me one more time.
Arizona, Michigan, Duke, UConn.
Arizona, Duke. I think UConn for the one seeds, right?
Yep.
UConn's probably the one.
I agree.
That you look at and go, all right. Like,
maybe, but maybe that's because I'm coming to it from too much of a betting standpoint, and I'm like, they can't cover a number to save their lives right now.
Yeah, no, they can't. But I also just think you look at, I mean, for example, yeah, like Houston. I don't know about Illinois, but I think Houston's probably the team. So your top four seeds could potentially be Michigan, Duke, Arizona, and Houston.
How impactful is tonight's game against Iowa State for Houston in that conversation?
Oh, it's 1,000%.
Yeah,
yes.
It's like,
I mean, if they win here today, I would assume that any refresh bracketology would maybe have them push UConn, especially when you factor in some of the projections as well and whatnot. I mean, Ken Palm's got UConn is like a 9, so you're floating around that range of, I think from a power rating standpoint, they're closer to 10, and I think from a resume standpoint, look, the Big East kind of stinks, man. I mean, there's not a lot going on that would make you think that you're going to be looking at this resume in comparison with what Houston could be, especially if they beat Iowa State, and look at what they have in their resume for a one seed.
What's St. John's going to do? That's what I want to know. They've been fun. Well, they beat UConn.
Of course.
And they beat them both games last year. Yep. Like, it's a very interesting dynamic there. And as we talk about all of this and everything, reminder that with March Madness approaching, our March Madness betting guide is something that you get included when you're a VSiN Pro subscriber for free, because you get access to everything that we do with the network. That's not only all of our content and what we do on air, but the articles each and every day, our prop tools, the real-time betting splits, all of it. VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can come join us for as little as $9.99. You can also save 50% with that annual subscription that includes the March Madness guide. It also includes our MLB betting guide, which is dropping tomorrow, by the
way.
Very excited. We've been doing these previews game by game, but when you get the VSiN MLB betting guide, they have breakdowns already of every single team, some potential bets, whether it's win totals, divisions, all of that stuff right at your fingertips. And that is, again, coming out tomorrow. If you're already a subscriber, you're going to get the auto download right away. And if you're not, come join us, and you can get it whenever you sign up.
To add to this, in the theme of this coming out, because I'm very much looking forward to getting into the MLB betting guide, Adam Burke will be on Pod to the Futures with me tomorrow.
Okay, very nice.
Mitch Moss is off.
He is fresh from Maui, so I'm curious if he's got a little tan.
Mitch Moss has already missed two episodes of Pod to the Futures. Ask me how many I've missed, Stormy.
Oh, because you're Mr. Perfect, and you never miss anything in your life. I forgot.
Goose egg. Ask me whose idea Pod to the Futures
was. How many hardwood handicappers have you missed, though?
None.
Because I know for a fact you missed your spot last week.
I didn't miss it. I was told not to do it.
Told not to.
I have the text. I can show it to you.
Probably because of your anger and aggression directed toward the All-Star, Graham. And that's something you just need to work out on your own.
Could potentially be that. I've directed that anger and aggression another direction.
You should have joined it because you had a bet. I mean, it didn't go
well. Well, I would have. I didn't realize what time it was. I was traipsing around downtown Summerlin, bought a new pair of sunglasses. I was taking my time. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking at my phone and Con Knipple's going nuts.
Yeah, something happens to you when you're going to, like, stores, apparently.
I got it. I'll save this for the other side.
Okay, we got to step aside. In Pocket Plays coming up after this. A lot to recap from the weekend and what we are looking toward tonight and beyond next.
AI has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right, I'm up. Let's go. It's Angels over 70.5 wins. -105. I'm sorry. There's a lot of things that happened. You know, a lot of thoughts race through my mind. I don't know where I want to go every single time. So plays for today, Angels over 70.5 wins at -105. We talked about this earlier, part of our play ball series here today. I do think there's enough upside to get this team back to that 72-74 win mark. I don't think they're going to push for 85 or anything crazy, but I do believe, given the youth in this team, the potential direction that some of the young players have pointed themselves with their play, and the upside of some of the veterans that they have added to the back end of this rotation, if you get the good part of Grayson Rodriguez for a stretch and he's healthy, I think it is safe to say that this team can replicate the 72-ish win season, so it'll be a sweat. But I do think this number should be about 72.5, 73.5, not 70.5. So we'll go Angels over 70.5. And this is just because I've watched this Italian hockey team and I have watched absolute dreck on the ice, even to my untrained eye. Give me Switzerland puck line -3.5, -135.
Beautiful. Do you have anything to grade over the weekend? Yeah,
yep,
you do.
Con Knipple to win the 3-point contest. Did not get there. 3-1. It is a loser. But that was the only thing I had over the weekend. I was hoping that the Great White Hope would get me there, and he did not.
I had a lot more over the weekend. We'll get to that in a moment. But the plays added today, as you said, though, fading Italy. I'm fading both Italy and France. They're the two worst teams in the field. I think they're going to lose by margin to Switzerland and Germany, respectively. So those have officially been added. The puck line on Germany, -2.5 for that one, -130 your price, -135 for the Switzerland puck line. I also added Team USA women to beat Canada on the puck line, -1.5, -150. I just wanted to get this locked in. I am going to hold out and hope that there are maybe some better numbers, although on BetMGM we've already seen -170, so I just wanted to make sure I got in there with at least one bet on it already. The Angels also, I'm joining you. We're doing that a team play, show play for the season. Season-long sweat, just like we did with the Hornets. That one got home in the NBA. See if we can do it in Major League Baseball as well, -105 that price. We do have a couple pending as well here. The Czech Republic 4-1 to medal. It ain't gonna happen. So we should have just graded this. We should have just put an L on it.
Why?
They should beat Denmark in the qualification round, although I'm not sure. They've been the biggest disappointment for me of this entire tournament to this point.
Okay.
And then even if they do win, they are going to meet a juggernaut and get bludgeoned by Canada.
You don't know that, I believe.
Oh, I know for a fact. So chalk that up as an L. Meanwhile, Canada to win gold in men's hockey. We added that on Friday at +114. I'm feeling good about it. It's -140 right now. And in a moment, actually, we will talk about a potential other way to bet on Canada to win it all at a better price. So we can have that discussion in a moment. Let's grade everything from the weekend. So our Rasmus Dahlin points prop finally got there. He got over the 4.5 just in the preliminary round. So that was a beautiful thing to see. Finland, meanwhile, in Group B. I already told you my stupidity leading to the bad beat on that one where they beat up on Italy 11-0 in that final game. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're cruising. We're going to somehow come back and win this bet because of goal differential. Rongo bongo, sister. It was the goal differential for the teams that were in the three-way tie, and so the Italian game didn't count, and it crushed my soul. Russell Henley, top 10, doesn't get there, but the top 20 at least does, so we count that as a dub. Victor Hovland was too busy throwing his umbrella at his golf ball in a tree to get us a top 20, so that was a loss. However, shout out both of the soccer plays that we ended up getting. Both Inter versus Juventus and Coventry and Middlesbrough go over the 2.5 respective goals in that. So a pair of dubs on the pitch for soccer. College basketball, not so much. Those plays on Friday. St. Louis team total was 39. We took the over 42.5. That didn't get there against Loyola Chicago. Michigan State obviously got crushed by Wisconsin. So that's an L there as well. But it's nice that shout out Steve Wiss, once again, the meat man, for coming in the clutch with the soccer plays. Those were his two favorites of the day, were the over goals. He thought we were going to get a lot of them. Over 2.5 for both, and they got 4 and 5 goals respectively in each of those two games. Reminder, the sharp plays, as we talk about basketball and all of this, is where bettors find their edge this time of year. Dozens of games a night in college hoops, constant line movement, and an opportunity for those who know where to look. You're not going to beat billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sharps on your own, but with sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI, connected to insider sources, the sharp plays delivers sharp action, key numbers, market shifts, and more, all before the public catches up. You get free daily reports, real-time alerts, public logs and transparent results all since 2011. They've been backing it up. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Own the boards this college basketball season at SharpPlays.com. So I mentioned another way that you can potentially bet on Team Canada. And this was something I heard our own Jonathan Davis bring up a little bit earlier today on VSiN. He joined Dave Ross and Mark Malusis and the VSiN by the Books crew today. And was I hate you so much. Can't we just have a conversation without you being you for 5 seconds? Oh, God. Mack and Celebrini to have the most goals. So right now, Team Canada has gone from, when we talked about this on Friday, in the plus 115 range to minus 140 to win the gold medal ultimately. Connor McDavid also minus 140 to win MVP for the Olympic Games right now. But Macklin Celebrini, who currently leads the field, he's tied with Germany's Tim Stützle for 4 goals to this point. And he's only going to have more and more opportunity. How many times have we talked about the line combos for Team Canada and just what they've been able to put together to score? We have. I know that you're being funny and you're like,
well, no,
making
because
fun
I,
of
no,
me
no,
and
no,
being
I'm not
rude,
making fun
but
of you,
we
actually,
have.
That is actually a compliment to you. I have not said anything about the line combos for Canada. You have. So, yes, I'm going to be sarcastic there because I am actually giving you the compliment. I did not say anything about Canada's line combos. It has been all you. I have just been betting stuff in-game and saying, hey, that's a lot of shots. Let's play that team. And that's literally been my whole strategy this whole time.
Well, he is still, and granted, it's not the 20-1 price that he was available at pre-tournament, but to lead the field in goals scored, plus 275. And like that just could be an alternate angle. If he continues to drive offense and make the most of the line pairings that he's had, I think there's great opportunity for him just to continue to add to this goal scoring number. So plus 275, I think could be a worthwhile angle if you're looking to buy in on Team Canada. And shout out our own Jonathan Davis for that one.
All right. I like it. Dope.
I mean, look at some of the way that these numbers. So Celebrini too for MVP. I don't think that's going to, I mean, Connor McDavid is.
How is it decided in the Olympics?
It's not, I don't think it's just point scoring, but it's like
no,
the
I
same.
Just mean, is it the tournament in its entirety going
yes.
back to group play? Is it just the knockout stage?
The entirety.
Okay.
All it's right. the entirety of it. And like McDavid is about to break an Olympic record for most points in a single Olympic Games. So he's going to win it.
And in Olympic Games. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So he's already tied the Team Canada record for the most with 9. 11 is the record for a single games. He still has multiple games that he's going to play here if we expect Canada to do what we all expect them to do and is at least make the gold medal game. So he's going to get there. But Celebrini for MVP down from 22-1 to 12-1. Jack Eichel, if you think the Americans can get it done, he's a 20-1 shot. I just don't, though. And I'm curious your opinion because you've watched enough of these games now. I am of the belief, having watched as much of Team Canada now mm-hmm. and knowing that the goaltending has stood up because that was the biggest question about them coming in. They are a wagon offensively. The goaltending has done its job. I don't think they can be beat at this point. But Team USA obviously has a ton of talent themselves, and you never know on any given day like who can beat somebody. So do you think that the Americans can contend with the Canadians?
I mean, I think they can. My question would be, who would be in goal in the gold medal game if it gets to that point?
For the U.S.?
For Canada.
It'll be Jordan Binnington.
It would be Binnington
yes.
still?
Even though if you ask like most Canadians out there and right. fans of this team, they probably think they could, for as good as Team Canada has been, I think most Canadians say Logan Thompson would make them even better.
Yeah.
But Binnington has been good, and Binnington, at least in the eyes of John Cooper, who is their coach, has earned it.
So my question would be for you, has Binnington been good, or has he been on the right side of variance in a game like hockey? And is the old Binnington maybe just kind of looming
here? No, I think
here?
He's been good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
Thompson's better.
I mean, I think then I would ask, do you think that carries over to the National Hockey League?
Lord knows. I mean, his team is so bad, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. So, I mean, maybe
he's
right.
got a lot more help on Team Canada than he does it in St. Louis.
I'll bust out a hockey term here. Maybe a better blue line play in front of him.
Yes, maybe.
Maybe actually does help a little bit, does it not?
It should. Yeah.
See?
One would
See? Look at that.
One would think, look
Watch
at you go. But I didn't get the best number on Team Canada, but still at a plus money price on Friday, I'm very, very happy with that. I feel fairly confident that they are going to win it. And it's a nice emotional hedge for me, too, mm-hmm. as an American, that I want to root for Team USA, and I will be cheering for them in the game. But if they lose, then I get some money out of it with Team Canada. So I'm happy with it. Are you going to play
too.
Anything?
What are you talking about? I have Switzerland on the puck line.
No, I mean, like, futures-wise. Do you care about any of them? Are you going to play the women's game?
No.
No?
No. I'm just saying, we're game by game here, Stormathy.
Okay. I have heard a number of people say they think that Team USA can get knocked out in the qualifications. I mean, sorry, in the, not qualifications,
well, there
in the quarterfinals.
What is it safe to say their bracket?
It'll likely be Sweden.
A little bit tougher?
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. Like, you would think as a two seed that they would get a better draw, but instead they have most likely Sweden coming on that side, who I just don't know what to expect from them. And this is something that we can, I think, is worthwhile to discuss again tomorrow, is I don't know what version of Sweden is going to come out, because the one that we have seen is not nearly playing to the capabilities of their talent.
Sure.
So if the one that we've seen so far is the one that Team USA is going to get, great. And they're going to move on and they're going to play in the gold medal game. But if they play one that is like capable of actually how good they are, they could be in trouble. That's it. That's a wrap for us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Keep it locked right here, though. VSiN Prime Time with our boys, Tim Murray and Will Hill, coming up next. Have a great day. Good luck with your bets.